Good morning. Today we begin a new sermon series, as Amanda said, called One Another, and it's based upon the One Another statements in the New Testament. And the overarching One Another statement is in our gospel reading this morning, John 13, 34. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So Jesus gave his disciples a new command, a new mandate, the Latin word mandatum. It's where we get the word Maundy, Maundy Thursday. This is the text we always deal with in Maundy Thursday. But Jesus gives them a new command to love one another as he has loved us. And that's going to be our focus for today. And then next Sunday, starting next Sunday, we'll start looking at one another statements that more specifically describe what that loving one another actually looks like. One another statements like, forgive one another, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, etc. But focusing on today's passage, I want to look at it under three headings: the focus of our love, the impact of our love, and the quality of our love. So the focus of our love, the impact of our love, and the quality of our love. Let's begin with the focus of our love. The love to which Jesus is calling us here is for one another. It's by Christians and for Christians. And you might be thinking, wait a minute, Patrick, isn't that selfish? Aren't we supposed to love all people, not just Christians? Yes, yes, yes. Jesus' command here doesn't undo the dimension of love, which he makes clear in stories like the lost sheep, the prodigal son, the Good Samaritan. We want to come fully alive in Jesus Christ, but we don't want to just keep that for ourselves. No, we want to bring that life to others. But this command was given by Jesus as a special directive to love one another. We should spend, considerable time talking about how to love people who are far from God. But this message in this series is about how we are to love one another, all of our brothers and sisters in the faith, including those like right here, the people that you're sitting next to. Think about it. How in the world can we love those who are outside the church if we can't love one another? I mean, it just makes sense. And so our love for one another, in a way, you can think of it as practice, so that we can learn to love those who are on the outside. If we can learn to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, some of whom are very different, right? Ethnically, socially, culturally, politically. If we can learn to love one another, then that provides us with the character and the skills necessary to love well those with whom we do not share a common bond in Christ. You know, it was inside the church, and I've talked about this before. You know, I grew up in Leawood, Kansas. Not a really diverse population, Leawood, Kansas. It was in the church that I first started listening to non-white, non-American people with different points of view. It was inside the church, because of our bonds in Christ, that I started conversing with people who had very different life experiences from me. And it has helped me to understand, surprise, surprise, that my way of seeing the world is far from universal. You know, if we're going to love people well, we have to have that epiphany. And there are a lot of people that have yet to have that epiphany. They just assume that, well, everybody thinks like I do. Well, actually, no, they don't. So the church and learning to love one another gives us the opportunity to practice that love with all of our differences. So the focus of our love in this passage is one another, all our brothers and sisters in Christ. But I want us now to think about the impact of our love. When you think about this statement from Jesus, is there anything that strikes you as odd? I mean, there's certainly nothing odd about love, which is why Jesus' reference to this as a new command is kind of odd, at least on the surface. What does he mean? I mean, the Old Testament clearly talks about love. Leviticus 19:18 is where it says we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, in ancient Israel, they always understood that to mean loving all Israelites. But now Jesus is saying, no, you're to love all Christians, which extends well beyond nationality and ethnic lines. So there's an aspect of Jesus' teaching that is new in its focus, as we just discussed. But it's also new in its impact. The love of Christ, as shared among his disciples, will be a testimony to the world, Jesus says. Verse 35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Let me read that again. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. When Jesus was physically present, people could see his life. They could see his love and conclude, this is the Son of God. But now, in this setting in John 13, Jesus is about to leave. And he's essentially teaching them the way the world will come to know him is in the love that is shared among Christian believers. That should get our attention. This has profound implications. And I don't have time to go through them all. I don't even know what they all are. There's so many. But here's just one. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear. If the world is turning away from Christianity, we should first look at ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that there's no blame to go elsewhere. But if our country is turning away from the faith, and all the data suggests that it is, like the hard data, people, you know, when they say, in surveys, are they Christians? That number of people who express that they are Christians is dropping dramatically. So the data suggests that our country is turning away from the Christian faith. Well, if it is, then the first place we should look is the quality of our relationships. The Christian theologian and philosopher Francis Schaeffer, he wrote about this very thing in his book called The Mark of a Christian. He writes, "It is possible to be a Christian without showing the mark. But if we expect non-Christians to know that we are Christians, we must show the mark. Love and the unity it attests to is the mark Christ gave Christians to wear before the world. Only with this mark may the world know that Christians are indeed Christians and that Jesus was sent by the Father." So if people look inside the church and what they see is backbiting and gossiping and fighting, if they look inside and see that the church is, if they look inside the church and they don't see love relationships that are compelling, if they don't see relationships that are hard to account for as incredibly attractive, then they will probably just naturally conclude that there really isn't anything to all this Christian stuff. It's just talk. It's just words. And I don't know about you, I find this frightening. It should concern us. Because what does the world see? What does the world see? And I want to say, I have commended you all throughout this pandemic. I think I have really been able to see a depth of love for one another in this church, even more than I had ever seen before. And so I'm very proud of how people have responded and not turned to fighting with one another and some of the things that we've seen culturally. But it is a concerning thing to think that we are going to be evaluated by the world based upon our relationships. And if people are turning away from the faith, we should, first and foremost, examine those relationships and ask ourselves, what are people seeing in us? Are we loving one another? Because that is the way the world will know. So we've discussed the focus and the impact of our love. But let's move to the third point, the quality of our love. And I think this is the way in which Jesus' command is most profoundly new. Notice he says, love one another as I have loved you. So, you think about the command, love your neighbor as yourself. Now Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. You notice what he's done there? There's a new standard. And the standard isn't me or you, it's Jesus. The definition and the standard for love is now Jesus Christ himself. And of course, when we think about the quality of love, we understand, you know, we're not simply talking about feelings of love. We're talking about actions. Like what we read in 1 Corinthians, love is patient, is kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. I could go on. Love is primarily an action, which is why the rest of the series is going to focus on those actions. Forgive one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, etc. But when Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, what is he talking about? Well, think about what's going on. They're in the upper room. It's the night before Jesus is crucified. He has just told them, the Son of Man is about to be glorified. Jesus is very clearly helping them understand what he is about to do. He is about to lay down his life for them and for all of us. He says it more explicitly, a little further in the conversation. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So love one another as I have loved you. Now we know what he means. Jesus exemplifies a quality of love that before him, the world had never dared to associate with God. God loves his people so much that he will give himself up. He will lower himself and take on human flesh and offer himself up as a sacrifice for us. And now Jesus says, love one another with that same kind of love. In other words, give yourselves up for your brothers and sisters. Your brothers and sisters of differing denominations, your brothers and sisters of different skin colors, your brothers and sisters of different political opinions, your brothers and sisters of different economic and cultural backgrounds. All your brothers and sisters, give yourself up for them. Lay your life down for them. When the world sees us loving one another like that, despite all of our differences, then they will conclude, well, maybe there is something to this Jesus stuff after all. And may it be so that the outside world would give us the same label that they gave to the early Christians. This is what was said about the early Christians. 197 AD. It is mainly the deeds of love so noble that lead many to put a brand on us. See, they say, how they love one another. That is what changes the world. That is what changes the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day and this time to be together. Thank you for your word and how you speak to us through it. Lord, I thank you for this church and the depth of love that we share for one another. Lord, may it increase. May your love grow in us that we might lay down our lives for one another. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.